this is what's behind it.
So what you're saying is that not only is the ideology the issue itself, but the fact is that it's become like a money-making machine now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big companies like Big Pharma who can benefit financially from this. So it makes sense for them to keep pushing it because there's actually financial benefits that come back to them as a result of that.
Yeah.
I know, for example, that there's a lot happening between medical operations which are being offered to kids now, which cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could go into that briefly.
Yeah, I mean, this is now the big debate that's raging in terms of whether children should be transitioned. And so then they start with, they go through what's called the socialization. So they will socially present, as they say, as the opposite gender. Then they will start on what's called puberty blockers. Mm. So that will prevent them from developing into their original gender. And this continues all the way up through their lives. And what is not mentioned in the media is the huge costs to their health. Mm. This is kind of, there's many detransitioners who said that, you know, they started to transition to the opposite gender when they were 12 or 13, and they reach 18, 19, and they say, oh, I've made a mistake. Mm. And by that time, they've had surgery. They, you know, they've permanently changed.
Which they've paid for.
Which they've paid for, yeah.
And there's no way of getting that back or reversing the procedures.
They get
they're damaged for life.
Yeah, they get fast-tracked.
They're damaged for life.
Yeah.
Doctor, we're going to talk about this
sure.
a lot more, but what I want to do before we move on is get a clear understanding of the prohibition on homosexual lifestyles, as it's mentioned with reference to the story of Prophet Lut, may God be pleased with him, many times in the Holy Quran. Let me bring Sheikh Ishaq back into the discussion. Now, Sheikh, believe it or not, but there are some who claim that the interpretation of this issue according to Islam is not as clear as we would like to say that it is, and that actually there's an opinion that it's actually halal to have a same gender lifestyle, to be same gender openly and happily and be Muslim as well. Sheikh, just respond to that, because it seems as if it's a movement which is being pushed by the mainstream in the West at the moment.
You know what, you can't listen to delusional people, who just lie every time they speak. And that is what this is all about. If you look at the credible scholars and just open the Quran and open your eyes, you know, we've just seen some beautiful verses recited. Message is very clear and it's right in front of us. In fact, what the people of Lut, what the Hazrat Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam was saying is, why are you committing this fahisha? Why are you doing something that's never been done before in this whole world? You're preferring your men folk over your women folk. And then, but antum qawmu musrifun, you are transgressing. You are extremely sinful. And all they could do, they couldn't answer him. So all they could do, they basically said, let's drive these people, these prophets, or this prophet and his family, drive them out of the city. Because innahum unasun yatatahharun, they wish to be clean and pure. And that was the excuse. They wish to be clean and pure. We don't want to be clean and pure. We want to do this dirty and abhorrent act. We want to worship our desires and not worship our Creator. And Allah says very clearly in Surah Hashr, if you forget Allah, you will forget yourself. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those who forget Allah, Allah will make you forget your own selves, and those people are extremely disobedient. So it's very, very clear. You know, stop lying about Islam. Even the Bible says in Leviticus, in a couple of places, that this is an abomination. That's the word you use. And even it talks about being put to death. No, Islam is not for sale, okay? If someone is so deluded that they're making things up, you know, we should know what's right and wrong, which is very, very clear in front of us. No matter how many people are telling us otherwise, you can't speak to a foolish person. You can't convince a foolish person. You can't convince an idiot. You can't convince someone who's deluded. To such an extent, they're in the world of their own, which is made up. And the reality will hit them when punishments come, when their death comes, when they're held accountable. There's no apology for in Islam. A man a woman is a woman. Those who are born with XY chromosomes, they are male. Those who are born in X with XX chromosomes, they are female. No matter what you wish to label yourself, no matter how you wish to dress, no matter how many operations you have, Allah's chosen your DNA, and you can't change that for love of money.
Dr. Masterton, just tell me if you have any examples of what's actually going on, particularly with schools, because I think that, you know, we're not naive. We know we live in non-Muslim lands here. We know that, it's, the LGBT movement is not new. It hasn't sprung up overnight. It's been going on for decades. They have their own movement, which they've been pushing for a long time. Muslims seem, by and large, happy here with doing their own thing, letting everyone else do their thing. But the issue here is that they're now pushing it on to, say, religious kids in public schools, particularly here in the UK. I've noticed in Muslim-majority areas, that's where we seem to have a focus on the schools in those areas to try and change kids' understanding of their religion and their worldview. So perhaps you could give us some more examples of what's being taught to kids now, if you have any. There was a recent example which went viral of a teacher saying that if you identify as a cat, then that's absolutely fine. And if you dare challenge that, then actually you're a bigot. That's what she was telling the student.
Yes, I mean, when we look at the methods that are being used to persuade everybody that this is right, in short, it's emotional blackmail. And of course, young children are very concerned with justice. And this is why they're getting confused, because they are being told that it is unjust to have any questions about this ideology. But as we know, I mean, we have had very well-known transsexuals reading story time to 2 and 3 year olds in school in the name of promoting tolerance. Mm. And actually what's interesting is I've also seen online some transsexuals, as in men that like to dress as women, as part of their lifestyle. Some have even spoken out themselves against this. They have said, what on earth are these parents doing? Mm-hmm. They've said that this is a lifestyle, if that's what you want to call it, for adults. Mm. It's not appropriate for small children. We have, of course, in the school books as well. This is all planned, by the way. This is all planned. So the very explicit material that is being introduced to very young children, 6, 7, 8 year olds, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in the name of protecting them, you know, bringing about their awareness of potential dangers. But children are actually being traumatized by this. There is, again, someone who's behind this. Dr. Colin Morrison leads the resources for ScotGov, and he wrote in his dissertation that he wants to break down the artificial barrier between childhood and sexuality. He is a child sex advocate who doesn't believe there should be an age of sexual consent.
You're quoting there, right?
Yeah. So this is actually the ideology that's behind it, and what it looks like is that...
Sounds like they're sexualizing children.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
It's moving in stages. It's moving in stages so that, you know, ultimately... And we know there are even people who... paedophiles who are actively campaigning to be added to the letters. LGBTQ, blah.
They have their own movement.
They are openly campaigning, to be considered as a legitimate letter in this list of letters. Mm. And I think this is what I was explaining to some people the other day. Again, in the media, what's being presented is that this movement is united. LGBTQ, you know, everybody's the same. And that if you're not LGBTQ, at least you have to support them. You have to accept them for who they are, so to speak. But when you delve into it, you can see that they've got their own differences. They've got their own disagreements. So this is another thing that it's a false picture that's being presented to the world.
It is very scary. And one thing as well, which I think is quite horrifying, is this idea that Pride Month is all about being inclusive and promoting tolerance. Yeah. That's how it's promoted. But then if you're a person of religion, Muslim, Christian or Jewish, it seems as if, no, actually this month is about being intolerant to your beliefs, to your religion, to your way of life.
Yeah.
Because we have many examples of people of faith being, particularly parents, who are being excluded about knowing what's going on in schools. Yeah. They're also being told, you know, for expressing their views that they're bigots and that they should be shut down or censored, or they should even have their kids taken away from them.
Yes.
Perhaps you could explain that point very briefly, Doctor, if you don't mind.
So this is a policy now that if a child says that they identify as the opposite gender, and it comes to light that their parents are not happy with that or don't support it or are concerned about it, then the school can get involved, the social services can get involved, and the parent will be told that the child is going to be taken into care, so to speak. Again, I saw online, so this is happening in the UK, it's also happening in the United States.
Canada as well, I think. There are actually new laws in Canada.
Your children will just be removed. You have no say
as a parent.
Yeah, over the destiny of your child and the well-being of your child.
So the month of inclusion is all about censoring parent rights, eroding religious freedoms and free speech in general. I think that that's a conclusion perhaps we can take from this.
And also it's the state. It's a vehicle by means of which the state can take total control over how people raise their children.
Doctor, I would love to discuss this at more length because it is a very important issue, but unfortunately we're out of time for now, but inshallah we will get a chance in the future. Dr. Rebecca Marston, thank you so much, and to Sheikh Ishaq Talkeer, thank you for joining us as well, and to all of you at home as well for tuning in. We will be back again next week, inshallah, for another edition of Arn Islam, but for now, salamu alaikum.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will continue our previous discussions. We were talking about Ayah 79 in the previous session, and today we'll talk about Ayah 80 of Surah An-Nisa on page
91.
So, brothers and sisters, open your Quran, please. Turn to page 91, Ayah 80, and let's first and foremost, everyone, listen to the recitation, then we'll get back.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا.
That was nice recitation, Ali Nasir. How was it? Did you like it? Yeah, that was a nice recitation. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, come on, tell me. Was it good or no?
Yes.
Okay. So, Fawad, how about you? You enjoyed it? Huh?
Yes, it was good.
It was. Hassan?
Yes.
Yeah, and Hussein?
Yes.
All right. Okay, yes. Brothers and sisters, if you like the recitation, don't worry, okay? Just
Stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, we'll practice. First, you need to really master the tajweed rules, okay? Then, the beautiful recitation must be done with tajweed rules. So if somebody does not know the tajweed rules, he can't recite correctly, okay? So he has, if he wants, he should learn the tajweed rules. We are going to have that at the end of our session, okay? First, we'll mention some points about this ayah, and then we'll move on to the tajweed rules and the recitation. All right, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good news for you, brothers and sisters. So Allah Almighty says in this ayah, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I will read it without tajweed, okay? And then inshallah we'll practice the tajweed rules. Man yuti'ir rasula faqad ata'a Allah. Allah Almighty says, whoever obeys the apostle or the prophet, okay, this is equal to what?
Obeying.
Certainly me. Obeys, he obeys
Allah.
Allah Almighty. So, man yuti'ir rasula, whoever obeys the apostle, certainly obeys Allah. Okay. وَمَن تَوَلَّى, and as for those who turn their backs on you, O Prophet, it means they do not obey you, O Prophet, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا, we have not sent you to keep watch over them. I mean, the message of this ayah is this, that the first point, whoever obeys Allah, obeys
his apostle,
should obey
his apostle.
Okay? And whoever obeys the Prophet, it means he is obeying Allah Almighty. Prophet is the messenger of Allah. In the previous sessions, we talked a lot about this point, yes?
Yes.
So sometimes, now look, listen, okay? It doesn't mean that you only obey the Prophet. The Imams after the Prophet. Because in Usul al-Din, we have Tawheed, Adala,
Nabuwa,
Imama. Right after the Prophets, we have 12 Imams. So if you follow, if you obey the 12 Imams, it is equal to obedience to the Prophet. And it is equal to obedience to
Allah.
Allah Almighty. Okay? Kullun nurun wahid. All of them are like one light. Okay? All right?
Yes.
One light. So it means Imams are the leaders after the Prophet. You have to follow them. You have to listen to them. You have to obey them. Okay? Don't think, look, oh, he is the Imam. He's not the Prophet, so I don't want to follow him. No. Following the Prophet, okay, needs you to follow the Imams as well. If you are a person, a follower of the Prophet, you must be a follower of the Imam as well. Because Allah Almighty chose the Prophet, and Allah Almighty commanded our Prophet to choose the Imam. Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Okay, you have to deliver the message that Allah Almighty has given to you. If you don't, wa illam taf'al, if you don't do this, fama ballaghta risalata, your risala, your nabuwah is zero. You've not done your risala. Look, this is a command of Allah Almighty. That's why the Prophet gathered all the Muslims in the Ghadir pond and announced the leadership of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a divine leadership. So following, if you want to be obedient to Allah Almighty, you should follow the Prophets and also the Imams. That's the first important message. And the second one, sometimes, for example, we have Amr bil Ma'ruf, we have Nahi anil Munkar in Furu'uddin, right?
Yes.
So if you are able to guide someone and he's accepting, he's somebody who is so accepting, he accepts your words, okay? This is very good. Guide them, help them. If they are like a bit stubborn, okay, strict, so guide them, find a way to guide them. If they didn't, if they continued, okay, like ignoring you, okay? So, okay, try your best. But you are not responsible of him. That you must, at any price, for example, at any cost, okay, you're not responsible for him to guide him. You do your job. If it didn't, you didn't get any answer, you have done it. Okay? It's okay.
Is there still reward if you tried?
Oh, yeah. You get your reward. You get your reward, okay? Understood?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, please refer to the Tafsir books, inshallah, for more details, because there are a lot of good discussions on obedience of Allah Almighty, how we can prove that obedience of Allah Almighty is equal to obedience of Prophet and these things, okay? Refer. Let's mention some important tajweed rules, and that will be all, okay? Brothers and sisters, I hope you're not tired. So we'll move on to the tajweed rules and the recitation. The first tajweed rule. من يطيع الرسول؟
إدغام.
من يطيع الرسول؟ من changes to may. It is called idgham or merging. May yuti'i rasul, okay? And also, when you merge the sound, you extend the sound as well. For how many counts?
Two
counts. And there is one more thing happened here.
Nasal sound.
May this nasal sound. Sound comes from your nose. May yuti'i rasul. In tajweed, we call this ghunna. Ghunna. Say this ghunna. Ghunna.
Yes.
من يطيع الرسول فقد قا is a heavy letter, and then dal, which is a sakin letter here, is applied with an echoing sound, like Fawad said. قلقلة. فقد أطاع الله. طاء is a heavy letter. أطاع الله. Allah is pronounced heavily here because there is a fatha sound before. So, listen and repeat after me. Okay?
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله.
من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله.
أحسن. Salah tells you that you can stop here or continue, but Hassan, is it better to stop or better to continue?
Better to continue.
Okay, next time we'll continue this, okay? We'll join this part with the next part. Now, وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus تَ.
تَ is from the rest of the letters, so إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى, you hide the sound. Hide the sound of نُنْ سَاكِنْ. وَمَنْ changes to?
وَمَنْ
أَحْسَنْتُمْ. You hide the sound a bit, okay? When you pronounce the نُنْ, your tongue comes and touches the back of your teeth. وَمَنْ.
Yes.
So don't let your tongue touch it if you want to pronounce the ikhfa sound. وَمَنْ. Do not let it touch. Just when it goes and wants to touch, do not let it touch. وَمَنْ. Stop here. Look at my hand. This is noon. This is, for example, your tongue, okay? This is the gum area. وَمَنْ. Do not let it touch. This is the correct way of pronouncing the ikhfa sound. وَمَنْ. Tawalla, right?
Yes.
وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا. The mad is not wajib. You can stretch it or skip it. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. أَرْ. Heavy sound.
Ra is heavy here.
All right. أَرْسَلْنَا. Light sound. عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. حَفِيظًا changes to?
حَفِيظًا.
Make sure you pronounce ظَا correctly. حَا correctly. Next letters. Ha correctly, Ain correctly, Wow correctly, Ta correctly. These letters are important. So, listen to the next part. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا عليهم حفيظا.
MashaAllah. Now Hassan said that Sila tells us that it's better to continue. So it means it's better to join the two parts. Okay, the first part of the ayah with the second part. Let's join it together. Okay, Hassan?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Let's go. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope inshallah this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle. Inshallah, Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
As U.S. insurers cut coverage due to climate disasters, senators probe continued backing of fossil fuels. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse said, by underwriting and investing in new and expanding fossil fuel projects, U.S. insurers are helping big oil bring us closer to the worst runaway climate scenarios. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Common Dreams wrote, as insurance giants limit coverage in hundreds of disaster-prone areas across the United States, a Senate panel recently launched an investigation into seven major carriers' continued backing of planet-heating fossil fuel projects that are driving increasingly frequent and severe extreme weather. Senate Budget Committee Chair Sheldon Whitehouse sent letters to the executives of seven companies, including American Insurance Group, AIG, Berkshire Hathaway, Chubb, Liberty Mutual Group, Star Right USA, State Farm, and Travelers Insurance, demanding that each firm disclose how it underwrites, investing, and profits from coal, oil, and gas. The letters also signed by Senators Ron Wyden and Bernie Sanders, both members of the committee, further ask the companies to explain what plans, if any, they have to reduce, wind down, or eliminate support for current and proposed fossil fuel projects in accordance with the Paris Agreement's goal of limiting temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. In addition, the letters seek information about the insurers' climate-related lobbying activities and human rights policies, including methods for securing free, prior, and informed consent from indigenous communities affected by drilling or pipelines. The companies have until June 23rd to respond to the questions. By underwriting and investing in new and expanded fossil fuel projects, U.S. insurers are helping big oil bring us closer to the worst runaway climate scenarios, which threaten lives, livelihoods, and the federal budget, White House said in a statement, adding, "This information is especially relevant as some of these companies begin to pull out of certain markets because they see the coming catastrophic climate risks despite continuing to provide services to the fossil fuel industry." The Wall Street Journal reported recently AIG is planning to scale back home insurance sales in roughly 200 zip codes around the U.S. at elevated risk of floods or wildfires, affecting parts of Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Idaho, Montana, New York, and Wyoming. Earlier this year, Farmers Group stopped accepting new applications for home insurance policies in Florida, citing hurricane exposure and soaring rebuilding costs. AIG and Chubb had already begun to restrict coverage in California last year. 2 weeks ago, State Farm halted the sale of new residential and commercial property insurance policies in the state. And recently, Allstate confirmed it did the same thing last year. Unmitigated global warming is fueling larger and more frequent blazes in the U.S. West and elsewhere, intensifying hurricanes and typhoons and causing sea level rise, which increases the likelihood of flooding and damaging storm surge events in coastal areas. With an estimated $582 billion invested in fossil fuels, meanwhile, U.S. insurers are making the problem worse, progressive lawmakers and advocates say. Despite mounting evidence of the climate emergency's growing toll of death and destruction, as well as abundant warnings from scientists who have made clear that exploiting new oil and gas fields is incompatible with preserving a habitable planet, U.S. insurers have yet to rule out support for increased fossil fuel extraction and combustion. Dino Noel, Climate Campaign Director at Public Citizen, said recently the U.S. insurance industry continues to dismiss the urgency of eliminating support for fossil fuel expansion and implementing credible science-based plans to phase out their underwriting and investments in coal, oil, and gas. Noel said AIG executives need only look out the windows of their New York City boardrooms to see the realities of an unfolding climate crisis. Empty climate promises do nothing but set entire regions of the country on course to be deemed too risky to insured communities everywhere to grapple with an uncertain future. Inaction and inadequate action are unacceptable. Wyden and Sanders wrote, witnesses have warned that sea level rise and wetter, more intense storms could eventually make more than $1 trillion in coastal real estate uninsurable and therefore unmortgageable, leading to a coastal property values crash that more frequent and intense wildfires could result in a similar death spiral for Western property in the wildland-urban interface, that climate-related losses are making it harder for the insurance industry to price risk, already resulting in insolvencies among regional insurers, and that, as demand for oil and gas declines, hundreds of billions of dollars in fossil fuel assets may be stranded. Each of these disruptions could become systematic, and more than one could occur simultaneously. The trio proceeded to ask each company how it evaluates these climate-related risks, decided to invest in or underwrite fossil fuel expansion projects that drive such risks, and prices policies insuring such projects. As the senators observed, underwriting dangerous fossil fuel projects makes it harder to achieve global climate goals, and there is little transparency about how the myriad risks factor into industry decisions. The letter says, given the threat that climate change poses to both the insurance industry and its policyholders, it is difficult to understand how the industry can carefully price and manage climate risk in some areas of its business while simultaneously having no apparent plan to phase out its underwriting of and investment in the projects and companies generating the emissions that are causing these very harms. Many fossil fuel projects would not be able to move forward without insurance, and all industries and sectors in civil society have a role to play in meeting the United States' international climate goals.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab, and today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Nakavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Professor Salman Nakavi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University of Qom, and we have been discussing some very important issues related to teenagers and what parents should be doing. In the upbringing process, parents have got to be doing a lot of things, especially they need patience to be dealing with all the upbringing processes. We answer in this program your questions, issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, and the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, Professor Nakavi, to start with, sometimes when we see teenagers speaking, peer pressure is one of the things that changes the attitude of sometimes speech, sometimes what they say, sometimes they really don't think what they are saying. So what etiquettes and manners of speech should be taught to teenagers?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, thank you very much. As you mentioned, adolescence is a very sensitive age, and there's a lot of influence coming from the different quarters over a child who is of that age. And so we need to be very careful regarding what we require our children to do, especially talking, using their tongues. In our Islamic literature, the use of the tongue has been described to be one of the most important aspects of our behavior,
right,
and how we need to manage it and how we need to take care of what we're saying,
right,
and how we're saying something. So basically, we need to teach our children to be speak nicely, politely, correctly, with confidence, but never to abuse anyone.
Right.
So, and most of all, most important, to speak what is correct, what is right, what is based on logic, not on emotions.
True.
Yes, we need to be emotional. We need to express our emotions, but emotions which are entrenched in logic.
Yeah.
If we speak out for someone's right, then we need to be forceful about it. We need to be emotional about it. But because it is something which is right.
Yeah.
So we need to teach our children to speak what is the truth.
Yeah.
Based on logic, based on something which everyone accepts to be true and correct, and what our religion tells us. But in doing so, we shouldn't be abusive, we shouldn't be harsh, we shouldn't be looking down upon someone and trying to belittle him. So speaking is one of the basic qualities that a human being possesses, which qualifies him and distinguishes him from other animals. As we have been saying previously also, the human being is supposed to be a rational being.
Yeah.
And he needs to speak based on rationality.
Yeah.
So the first thing which we need to make our children realize is that the Quran says, قُلْ الْحَقِّ. Whatever is the truth, you should say it.
Exactly.
Whether it is against you, whether it is in your favor, the truth should be spoken.
Yeah. Professor, we will be discussing more with you on this important topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about etiquettes and manners of speech that should be taught to the teenagers. Well, if those manners are taught this polite speech of communicating with others would show them respect, consideration of their feelings, and this politeness is can be ranging from many forms, like speaking truth and sometimes like using formal language or expressing gratitude and appreciation. Well, Professor Salman Lakhvi, you have been talking about the first thing and in the speech manners that we should be teaching to our teenagers is to speak truth.
So we need to teach them to understand what the truth is. So their mental capabilities to understand the truth are very important. They need to be developed in such a way. Their logical thinking patterns should be developed. And that comes from the upbringing and from the environment in which they live in. If they find us to be doing the same thing, they will follow us. They will try to accept us as their role models, even if they don't acknowledge that. But basically, they need to see us speaking the truth, and speaking the truth based upon solid arguments. And then, of course, we want us our children to be able to interact nicely with other people. So sometimes when we want to speak the truth, and the audience, the person whom we are talking to, is not ready to accept the truth.
Yeah.
Or he wants to defy it, he wants to reject it. Now we need to be very tactful and careful in saying what we want to say, though even if we may believe that we are true, but the other person may not be ready to accept that. So here we need to again, as the Quran says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana wajadilhum bil lati hiya ahsan."
Yeah.
So you need to talk to your audience in a way that you want to invite them to the truth. You want to invite them towards Islam. Our children should become propagators of Islam, and to do that, they need to call to the path of Allah Almighty, udu ila sabili rabbik, towards the path of the truth, the path of guidance, the path of rushd and development. So they need to understand that this has to be done based on hikmah,
right,
on wisdom.
Right.
And it has to be based on al-mu'izatul hasana. In a manner which is kind, which is polite, which is generous, using advice which touches the heart, comes out of the heart and touches the heart of the other person.
Yeah.
So it has to be truthful. It has to be with empathy. It has to be with passion.
Yeah.
It should be forceful. It should be in such a way that the person who is listening to you is touched by your words.
Right.
So that is important, to teach them how to communicate properly. That is very important.
Right.
So when we talk about the truth, it's not just about the truth in the general sense.
Yeah. Well, we'll be discussing more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the manners that should be taught to teenagers regarding the speech. Well, Professor Salman Akavi, we have these teenagers who sometimes come up with the reasons that, come on, it was important for me to lie over here. If I would have not lied, maybe this and that would have happened. But in the very beginning of the program, you said, whether truth is in your favor or against you, always prefer to speak a truth. But here we also have like this kind of explanation when it's coming up from teenagers. We have this another hadith which says that lying is root and key to all other sins. How do we transmit this to our teenagers?
So when we talk about the truth, we need to talk based on facts, based on logic. We need to communicate what we want to do in a very polite manner. But sometimes we are talking about the truth in the particular religious sense or in the sense of our ideology. We're talking about Allah Almighty. Sometimes we're talking about our daily issues.
Right.
Things which come up every day. There are interactions, there are transactions, there are different dealings going on, give and take is going on. So everyone is looking for his own benefit.
Right.
Everyone is trying to make the most out of that transaction. That transaction may be a monetary fiscal sort of transaction, or it could be some other sort of give and take in daily matters. You do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. So in soliciting the help of others, in trying to take them on board, we need to be truthful.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't do anything which harms them. Even if we're looking for our own benefit, it shouldn't be in such a way that it harms the other person, causes injury to him, causes him his character is diminished, or he is, for example,
loses dignity.
He loses his dignity. He shouldn't be harmed. There should be a win-win situation. If I'm giving something and I'm taking something, for both of us, there's a win-win situation. Sometimes, for the sake of our own benefit, we lie to others because we forget the fact that lying in itself isn't good for me as the person who is speaking that lie.
Yeah.
Who is speaking that, going against what the facts are. That does not reflect upon my character, even if it does not have any harm for the other person.
Right.
Maybe it does not cause any harm to the other person. It is a very negative reflection on my own character. But mostly when we lie, it is because not only is for our own benefit, sometimes it's for the at the expense of the other person.
Right.
Losing something material, losing something spiritual. So in any case, whatever we do, whatever we say, our children should realize that they should not be doing something, saying something at the expense of the other person, especially lying about things.
Right. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. And we'll discuss more about this topic in the upcoming episodes. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Well, speech is a mirror of the soul. So as a person speaks, so he is. Well, we'll discuss more interesting topics in the upcoming episodes. So stay tuned to IRIB English Radio in case you want to listen to our programs again. Go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. Go to the tab COI Call of Islam. You can find an archive of our programs there. Well, you can also find us on the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you have any questions regarding the upbringing of your children, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.